Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life and behind the scenes of. It's the 13th today of September. It's a Saturday. And it's jumper weather. Do you know, it's quite nice to put on a jumper. Some people don't like the weather differences in this country. I do. I like the hot, the warm. You know, when it's up to sort of 30 degrees, that's fine with me. I wouldn't want it sort of 40 degrees. I think that might be a bit much. But 30 degrees is nice. I mean, obviously, it depends what you've got to do. And if you're stuck, say, in the middle of nowhere with no water and there's no shade, and I don't mind being in the sun. Sorry, I'm just opening the door for the cat. Because the cat doesn't like the rain, and it rained last night. And he's now gone, I don't want to be out in the rain. Yes, I'm not at all surprised. So now you want feeding. But I don't mind the cold. I did a bit of a silly thing last night. I forgot to put... Yeah, sorry, Mo. I forgot to put the food from the freezer to the... Oh, he's going out now, so I'll just wait for him to just... Yes, there we are, he's gone out. So I can get his food out without him noticing. And then I can prepare it, you see. I haven't really observed if he has a... These things slip, slide around. I haven't really observed if he's got a favourite. There's ones that he doesn't like as much, I don't think, and then reluctantly he will eat it. But I don't know that he's got an absolute favourite. So what I need to do, I should put one. Oh, I need to put the other one in the fridge. They come in packs of two. One for the morning, allegedly, and one for the evening. And I will put it in water. I shall stick it in this jug. So, let's get the old kettle on. Sorry, I haven't had my cup of coffee yet. So we've got all the comedy sound effects. So enough for me, and a little bit over. And actually the water, I put the Essie on, of course, last night, so and I've had a little bath this morning. And the water's quite warm, so I don't need too much. Faffing about? Yep. So today I will need to... I didn't do a video yesterday. Today I will need to do a pipe smoking video and an ordinary video. I'm thinking now of really just doing alternate days on the main video channel. The numbers are low. I don't really mind, to be honest with you. I don't think people are as interested in the solutions as perhaps they once were. I think people have got a bit complacent now, and as a result, you know, they either know the solutions and they're not doing it, or they are doing it and they don't need to know anymore. And I'm not saying I'm an expert, I'm just saying what I think. And what I think, really and truly, only applies to me. I share my ideas, of course, as it's nice to do, in case other people can embellish them, improve on them, etc. I mean, my word is not to... gospel by any means. Oh, there's plenty of water in there. That'll do it. That'll keep him happy. Yes, it's funny, isn't it? You can offer an opinion and it's... Oops, sorry, I just bashed my head on the pipe. So it's not an ideal vessel, but it's all I've got. So I'll just come and turn it round shortly. Because not all of it is poking out of the water. Yes, you can offer an opinion. This is what I find really fascinating with this. And, you know, some people will listen to it and some people will add to it and improve it. And some people will send you links for further information and all these sort of things, which is all good and laudable and everything. And then other people will be offended or upset by an opinion, which I find, you know, they might. I can understand that people disagree with you. And I can understand people saying, I'm not sure you've got it right. But some people have visceral reactions to it. And that I do find strange. Because it's only an opinion. It's only an idea. It's only a suggestion. And nobody has to abide by your opinion. It's not a mandatory service or anything like that. Or not service. It's not a mandatory obligation, is it? People can do whatever they want. And yet some people find it that they get so wound up about it. I mean, some people even then talk about it elsewhere. And I do find that very strange. Because, I mean, it's the same old argument, isn't it? If you're not interested in somebody's opinions, why would you watch? There's plenty of people whose opinions I've watched, and I thought, oh, I don't know, that's for me. And I just stop watching it. I don't berate them. I don't put silly comments on. I don't act as a troll and all those things. And yet, many people do that. And you just wonder about the sanity of them, really. If they're not interested in something or they find what you do reprehensible, you wonder why they continually listen, and you think, well, there must be a mental aberration or something. Or is it that they find it so abhorrent that they're worried that I might be influencing other people's ideas? But everybody's going to have an idea about something or an opinion on something, and somebody somewhere is going to find that abhorrent and disagreeable on all ideas. And so, what have you got to shout? Have people got to shout down anybody and everybody who has ideas? Is that what we do? Or are we better as a polite society just ignoring those we disagree with? And if everybody, you know, if my opinions are abhorrent, then if everybody just ignores them, I can carry on saying my opinion. Why wouldn't one be allowed to do that in a free society? And let's face it, I guess people do want a free society. That's another moot point. And people could just ignore it or listen anyway and getting on to it. But free society, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you do wonder whether the same people who might not agree with me, and I'm not pulling me out specially, but only because I put my head above the parapet on YouTube, and others who seem to be asking or reminding people, I suppose, is that what I'm doing? I don't know what I'm doing, really. I hope I'm doing good. But I do believe in a free society and being able to express your views. People to express their views, even if they disagree with them. So, I mean, people keep sending me these links to a video of a chap who takes the mickey out of me. And I may have mentioned this before. And they say, you know, you should do something about it. And I think, well, he's got every right, I suppose. I mean, different if you're using copyright material. That's one thing. Because that's copyrighted material. But if somebody's saying, oh, this chap believes this and I think it's wrong and this is why, I think he's got every right to say that. And I don't have any animosity to somebody. I mean, if they want to go to the trouble of making video or doing audio files or whatever it is, because people do that all the time. They'll talk about people in the public eye, and if you're in the public eye and they think it warrants making a video about it, I don't really have a problem with it, because I mean, I don't watch them. I don't even know they're going on, apart from the links that people send me, and then I don't even bother with that. I think I watched one, and I thought, oh, okay, is somebody doing it? Fair enough. I think if they were stealing material, of course, to do it, that's a different thing altogether, isn't it? But I don't have a problem with it as such, because when you do start to censor people, and when you, particularly if you censor the people who are debating your argument, your own argument, especially an argument for free speech, you're going to look hypocritical, aren't you? And that is not how you get free speech. What would be far better, I suppose, if it really got under your skin, would be to agree to perhaps meet and have a chat one-to-one, or even in a public arena, and discuss the differences and explain why you think your way, and perhaps they explain why they think their way. And I think that would be interesting to do. And but only if it really got under your skin. As I say, it doesn't really get under my skin. It seems to get under the skin of my viewers. And but that's, I guess, that's their prerogative, let's say. Anyway, opinions. This is, we're in a time of different opinions. And I dare say history is full of different opinions. From caveman days, when one caveman would say to another, let's go this way and find our wildebeest. And the other one would go, no, let's go this way. And perhaps that's where, you know, the beginning of an argument starts. It is what makes up the world, and it is what makes life interesting, isn't it? I referenced the time machine the other day, and the Eloi and the Morlocks. Well, the Morlocks are the subterranean monsters, if you like, who have somehow, even though they seemed in the film, I can't remember the story because I read it when I was very, very young, and I then saw the film, and I think the film overwrote the plot and the story as far as I can remember. I remember the it being extremely wordy. The old time machine when I read it. I mean, I can't remember. I must have been perhaps when I was about 18 or something. I remember it being, extremely wordy. But that's how they wrote in the Victorian period. And I wouldn't mind getting a copy of that. I don't think I have a copy of it. I wouldn't mind buying a copy of that. Or if anybody's got a copy they no longer need and they don't mind sending it to me, then that would be lovely. But I would love to reread it, actually, to see what the author, H.G. Wells, originally wrote rather than George Powell's version of it. But in George Powell's version, which is perhaps in more common parlance than the book, perhaps, because of the nature of it was a film and it's easier for people to digest, the Eloi are the blonde, blue-eyed young people who never seem to get old. But actually they do, because they get eaten and processed by the Morlocks. But they have no thoughts, really, of their own. They're indifferent to problems, and they're provided for like cattle. And that is, I think, where we get into serious trouble if that happens. And it does seem to me that that is what a government would prefer, because they feel then they have more control if the population do not have original thought, and start demanding from them as public servants to do things which perhaps they disagree with. And of course, the government can get away with a lot more behind the scenes without the scrutiny and without the knowledge and without the prying from concerned people. Well, look at where we are today, and you can see that that is exactly what's happening. And it's troubling. I would say it's very troubling. But now, anybody can have a difference of an opinion on that and say, well, no, it isn't troubling. We need to have more control over people. We need to have perhaps facial recognition and CBDCs. And I've argued that these are not a good idea in a free society. And clearly other people have argued that they are. And you see, in a free society, I would say you can argue that stance. But in the society that they're arguing for, I would not be able to argue anything. Because once you've been, what would we say, entrapped, and once they've got their, this is the only argument there is, this is the only thought there is, free thinking people cannot have an argument, and they're painted as dangerous opposition, or as they say, extreme far right, which I don't really know what that means, other than to a certain chunk of society, anybody who is whatever far right means, and once you've been labelled it, it means you're a danger to society. If you question the validity, let's say, of a medical intervention that is supposedly there to eliminate a problem, if you just question it and say, are you sure? And I don't think there's anything wrong. You see, this is where my opinion is, that I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning what's in that solution. Are you sure it works? Can I see the result? Before I put it into my body, can I be absolutely sure it's not going to harm me? It's going to do more good than if I don't have it, and that it's not going to harm me or anybody else in any way. Are you able to guarantee it? And also, will you, the person who's injecting me, take personal liability if I have some problem? In other words, you're going to put that solution into me. If I have an issue with that solution that you say I have to have, are you prepared to, if I have to have a leg taken off, or I have to go to hospital for 6 weeks because of terrible neurosis or something, are you going to pay for that treatment, Mr. Person with the syringe? I don't think there's anything wrong with asking those questions, because it seems to me that if you're going to inject something, a solution that's been man-made, into your body, you have every right to question what's in it. Now, some people have, and they did, said, no, 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 you cannot argue from that point of view. That's a wrong stance. You must accept the science and get on with it. And accepting the science is one thing, but let's prove that the science is 100% right and safe, rather than a rush job that has been hyped up by the media and or bad actors who want you to take something which may or may not be an appropriate thing. And it may not be an appropriate thing for everybody. For everybody's biological functions are not the same. However, to question that, even eminent doctors were saying that was wrong to question. Now, what does that say about society? That you must accept what your government, your media, tell you. And yet we know, do we not, that governments and big organisations and the media get it wrong from time to time. Quite a few times they get it wrong. And usually when it's large scale things, they get it wrong. Because there's so many variables. are not surprised. They're not blaming them for getting it wrong, but they do get it wrong because that's the nature of things. And therefore, if governments, media, and large corporations can make these mistakes, terrible mistakes, then surely before you inject something that may damage your health for the rest of your life, you would want to question the validity of it, would you not? I don't think that that is an irrational argument or an irrational thing to do. And yet some people will still say, no, no, you must take it because you're killing granny. And then you might say, are you sure of that argument that I am killing granny? Are you even sure that the virus exists? And of course, if you go down that path, you're in, again, it's a question too far. People have limits on what they can comprehend. And that's a shame. There are questions where they think you've overtrod sanity. So that if you were to say, do we know that that virus actually exists? There seems to be no evidence that it's actually been isolated, and therefore that somebody can put their finger on it and say, there it really is. Look, you can see it. But that seems to be an argument that is so rock solid in terms of there is, the opposition of it. Of course there's a virus. Of course it exists. Of course it travels by air. Of course it can go through cloth. Of course, it can't go through cloth with huge holes in it. Or it can't go through a rag you've cut up yourself. Of course you can be protected by having an injection which has not really had enough time to see what would happen in, say, 5 or 10 years time, or whether pregnant women should have it, or people of different ages, and even children. Of course everybody should have that, even though the evidence is now that there are people who are damaged by it and dying, or have had all sorts of issues, including myocarditis. But of course you should still have the and it's only a coincidence that there seems to be turbo amounts of cancer at the moment. It's got nothing to do with the fact that the whole population fell for a virus and therefore took a medical intervention. And anybody questioning those sort of things are treated insanely, as if you are a loony. It does make you think. Because I'm not a bright spark, I'm not that clever, but it does make me think, well, if I'm questioning this and other people are blindly not, they must, and it seems an obvious thing. So in other words, if spits of fire were dropping from the sky, logic would tell me, don't go out because there are droplets of fire from a volcano or whatever you, falling from the sky. But if the influencers, the government, the mainstream media are saying, no, no, it's important that you go out into those droplets of fire will do you no damage, even though you're looking out your window and seeing people burning and their skin sizzling, and the media are still going, no, 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 it's very important you do go outside, would you not question that? But if, and I would say that was, ordinary, rational people would say, no, thanks, not going out there. But what's happened to the ordinary, rational people that said, yes, I'll take something that's been untested, made at the speed of science, whatever that means, and has caused a lot of damage? And then you think, well, if I'm no super brain and I'm questioning it and my friends over here are not questioning it, they're just willingly accepting it, what has happened to them? Because some of them are more intelligent than I am, far more. What has happened to them to basically be so blinded that they will not question it. That's what goes through my mind. And you think, something has happened to those people that didn't happen to me. I don't know what that is, other than they've been brainwashed. They've been brainwashed to believe that whatever the government says is true. Or there are bad actors out there influencing everybody who can be influenced or hypnotized by this notion you're doing it. Perhaps it's the NLP, the neural, linguistic thingy, whatever it stands for, which is a form of hypnosis, has been subconsciously used on them so they do not question the validity. It baffles me. It really does. Anyway, there you go. That's another opinion piece, I suppose, that people may find objectionable. But I do try, and I'm not saying I succeed, but I do try to put these pieces across, not as a rant. I mean, occasionally, I suppose, I get a bit more passionate about it. But not as a rant, but as an argument, as a relatively cold argument, and say, what is wrong? And I would love people to come back and tell me, those that disagree, what is wrong with having an opinion that is contrary to the mainstream message? Even though it might be, on the face of it, a little far-fetched or disturbing in its nature. What is wrong with doing that and by questioning things? Because it seems to me that science is built up by questioning. You have a hypothesis and you question whether that's right. And then you do your tests until you prove it's right. But even then, excuse me, it's still a hypothesis. And I think of gravity, although now people are saying gravity isn't a thing, it's to do with weight and mass. I don't fully understand what they mean, because everything's got weight and mass, and they're saying, well, it would just fall down to the ground anyway. Well, what, because it's heavy? But that in if space is a real thing, and people are questioning that, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, I've never been into space, but if space is supposedly a gravity-free area, then things float. So you get into... But anyway, my point is that let's just assume that everything we've been told about gravity is true. Let's just take that as a basis for the argument that people will say, well, there's a law of gravity. But if something started to float and everything else, when you let go, fell, you might say, ah, the theory or the law of gravity is now questionable because some things actually float in certain circumstances. Who knows what those circumstances might be, of course. I'm just adding that in. But if that was the case and it was discovered that in certain circumstances the law of gravity didn't work, and again, I'm thinking of, and it's a fictitious story, The First Men in the Moon, by H.G. Wells, and Professor Cavor had this anti-gravity paint that he painted on his little spaceship, which was a sphere, and it floated up to the moon. Now, preposterous as it sounds, but let's just say that that was possible, that there was a substance that you could paint onto something and it became anti-gravity. You would then say that the law of gravity isn't absolute. It works in, let's say, 99% of the time, but in these instances, it doesn't. So you would go back and rethink how a law works. So in other words, even the law of gravity, which you think is fixed in stone, could be questioned if a substance like cavorite, I think it was called, was developed and made things float. Because you would say, well, the law of gravity is pulling things down, but this substance gets round that law for this reason, whatever that reason is. And so therefore, you would change your thinking on the law of gravity. And science works by questioning and going, ah, yeah, this works like this, but these are the exceptions. So questioning something like a virus, like a vaccination, is not a peculiar thing to do. It is something that is laudable and actually is what people do anyway when discovering things. But it was a weird situation in which nobody was allowed to question something in the height of panic, which actually may have been extremely, and I believe was, detrimental, that they were not permitted to question, and that people who came up with the great Barrington Declaration that simply said, let's save the vulnerable people, and everybody else who have an immune system will deal with the virus as they deal with it in any other way, because it's not a killer virus and bodies need to become immune to it. And not only is it not a killer virus, I would go one stage further, and this is where it does get debatable, and people are quite rightly can say, I disagree with you. I don't know that viruses even exist, and I think that it is a myth used as a control mechanism. Now, you might say, well, that's very conspiratorial, and maybe it is, but it's an opinion that somebody is, in a free society, permitted to hold, because if you don't have people who will say, I think this extreme element of it, the other people may then not listen to that and say, well, let's see if we can prove that wrong, not by ridicule, but by vigorous science, and see if he's right. And they may say, look, here we've isolated the virus and there it is. And then somebody like me would say, oh, okay, I revise my thinking. You've isolated a virus, you've proved without any question that a virus exists, and so therefore I will adjust my thinking because there's the evidence. In the meantime, it's a hypothesis which ought to be very free and allowed, permitted to have that opinion, that my stance is this might seem extreme to others, but until somebody's disproved it, then one should be allowed. Now, if it's proved without any, you know, and people, someone's going around, well, I still don't believe that there's a virus. Well, that person can still have that opinion, but people may say, well, you're just wrong because we have the proof. But at the same time, that proof could, and I'm not saying it is, in those instances, could still be flawed. And at some point in the future, that people may say, well, actually, you didn't isolate the virus. It looked like you did, and everybody thought you had, and the tests that were done gave the impression that you had, but in reality, you still hadn't. So even though something looks like it's been proven, one can still have a question mark over it, just in case. And so that's why a free society and free thought is essential, even though you might disagree with somebody else's stance. Anyway, I think I have analysed that from various angles. You may completely disagree with me and believe whatever you want, and I have no problem with that at all. Thank you for listening. Till next time. Goodbye.